Hello, welcome, and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is Hao, your occupational therapist, and welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode of OT Conversations, I would like us to have a conversation and discussion about postural control retraining. This is one intervention that is focused on improving a person's ability to maintain an upright position to be able to control their posture so that they can engage on their functional tasks, either ADL work or leisure. And this is one intervention that is more on the enabling and restorative side. And when you are providing postural control retraining, you are, in a sense, doing a restorative intervention. Because there are no halfway measures to it. You either can manage your posture or you can't. Or, when I say you, I meant the person. Your patient can either do it or they can't do it. How do you do the retraining? That's the one thing that I'd like to explore with you. Posture relies on the ability to maintain an upright position. And you can have lying down position, and that's a posture. You have seated posture. You have standing posture as well. So what are essentials when you're doing and you're trying to restore somebody's posture? First and foremost would be their ability to control their head. Posture, any posture, begins with the control of the head. So a person's head control needed to be addressed first. And how does one control the head? What is the first movement? What are the first movements that you can observe in the head? The head's ability, or the neck's ability, to raise the head is one, meaning the back of the head, the nape region, and this would be all on the deep muscles and the upper trapezius as well. So there are some stabilizers in there. And a person needs to be able to lift the head up. That is one essential thing to do. And a person needs to be able to move the head, turn left and right. That is one thing. Yes, that's movement. But when you're talking about movement, you're talking about the muscles. That's one. So you have to stimulate the muscle. What are the ways and how you can stimulate the muscles? How do you do proprioceptive stimulation? You'll have to squeeze those trapezius muscles. If tolerable, you'll have to do some gentle tapping. It will be perceived as a massage. But you're actually not massaging the person. You're actually stimulating those muscle spindles. I will say this over and over when it comes to the motor retraining, okay? So that's the head. But that's one thing. It's the ability to move, but it'll be the muscles that are contributing to this. And the other thing that influences the head is the writing reaction. And what is a writing reaction? That is the ability of the head to maintain a right posture. It aligns itself to the vertical. And what are the sensors for the writing reactions? You have the inner ears. These are the ones that are there. What are the reflexes? Again, optical writing is one. You have neck writing. These are all reflexes that you need to do and you need to stimulate. The neck writing on the head, neck writing on the body. So when the head turns, the body will turn. Remember, guys, any movement, anything that you do will start from the movement of the head and neck. You probably don't notice it, but if you get out of bed, you turn your head first. If you walk, you move your head first. A lot of movement is happening because of the initiation of the head and neck. And when you're doing some postural retraining, say in sitting, so therapists would position the patient sitting down, plunk them on the plinth, slumped, yeah, because they're weak, say they've had a stroke, all kyphotic, and the head is bent down as well, okay? And what would therapists be doing? They'd normally say, look up very gently. Okay, that's one thing. Or they'd be at the back. And they would say, straighten the back, very gently. And then the person sometimes will either do it or will they probably will or they probably won't. So it is a hit and miss on this type of intervention. Why do you think that's a hit and miss? It is a hit and miss because you're not doing anything. Really, as a therapist, all you're doing is yapping. All therapists are doing is giving instructions to the person. But you don't just stimulate by yapping or just giving some instructions. There are benefits to that. There are some approaches that does that. And that is called motor relearning approach, Carr and Shepherds. This would be late 80s and early 90s. Yes. There are some interventions that calls for a person to be cognitively stimulated. You prompt them verbally and then the person will the trunk to move. But there is something to be said about the reflexes and the effect of the reflexes on the body, particularly on the writing reaction, protective extensions. Yeah. And these are the highest levels of reflexes, protective extension, neck writing, optical writing. These are all essentials. And that's the thing that's being missed when we are doing postural control retraining. I see therapists getting a person onto plinths, giving them instructions, and they'd be very cautious to actually move the person. You have to challenge the person. You have to push the person left and right. And it has to be significant so that the person's reaction will be stimulated. These protective extensions, as a reflex, it can only happen when it's done fast and in an unpredictable manner. And you need to stimulate the head and neck. Okay, so postural control retraining starts on facilitating the control of the head. You need to get that head moving. Okay, you need to stimulate the labyrinths and the vestibular capacities of that person. That's one of them. You need to actually, the second step that you need to do, before you do this, you need to do some enabling activities. And what are the enabling activities that you need to do? How can you stimulate the body? What are the muscles that are acting on the body? All these stabilizers. So you have all of those muscles on the spine, thoracospinal muscles, many levels. They're all deep. The ones that are active and that's very strong, you can have the latissimus dorsi, that's an influence in there. You can have those obliques. Yeah. So you have the obliques. Obviously, you have the abdominals. That's fine. But these obliques, how do you stimulate all of these postural muscles? You stimulate this by moving against gravity, giving it some stretches, giving it some rotation. These are the movements. When you're doing rotation, when you're doing stretches, you're actually stimulating the muscle spindles in the same way as you're stimulating the muscle spindles of the upper limb. only it's in a different part of the body, which is again the atrial and the core. It always have that, the core. Yeah, of course the core, it's there at the center. But how do you stimulate the core? You don't just lean forward, look up. You have to give it some form of a stimulation. And that is done through trunk elongation sideways. Yeah. And how do you do a trunk elongation? Say I want to elongate the right side of the trunk. What you would do is you would have a traction stimuli or stimulus on the scapula, on the right scapula, and also on the right hip or pelvis. And what you want to do is you really want to stretch that. Can the person do that on their own? No. It's got to be manually done by a therapist. So that's one way. And there is a certain key points of control where you handle all of these things. You want to stimulate that. Okay, so that is elongation. What about the other thing? Rotation. Yes, you need to have trunk rotation. And you can have trunk rotation in bed. How do you want to do this trunk rotation in bed? First, get the person lying down, bend the knees. And then once you bend the knees, you can then start moving the knee on the joint, or it's like tuck in knees to each other towards the left and towards the right. And then you can facilitate and stimulate that rotation even more when the arms are actually going on the opposite direction. So it's like really twisting, but very gently. So you'll have a gentle stretch. You need to have a gentle movement and gentle stretch first. This is how you would start it, right? Head, stimulate the head, stimulate the trunk, stimulate the body, stimulate the muscles. What are the ways on how to stimulate that? For the muscles, stretch it. Facilitate the Golgi tendon organs through rotation, through elongation, through deep pressure. It will come across as you giving it a massage. So don't shy away from giving that stimulation. So that's that. An upright posture and a person being sat upright is doing a lot of good, because the head is actually getting calibrated to that posture. If a person is lying down all the time, the lifts or the inner ear, the vestibular apparatus, will get used to that head in that position. So when you get them sitting down, they have no head control. Okay, guys? So there you go. I've taught you some techniques and ways on how to stimulate the head and the neck and the body while in lying down. What about in a seated position? Obviously, it's difficult to do to be sat on a plinth straight away. It's very difficult, although it's very comfortable to do that. As long as you need a hoist, it's all the manual handling. As soon as the person's on the plinth, they can do more. If they are seated, for example, in a supportive chair, it is so easy for a lot of people to just tilt the chair backwards. And again, you are desensitizing the inner ear. What you need to do is get that seat to lean forward so that the person will be leaning forward so that they do not rely on the backrest of the chair. And you can sit in front of the patient and get the patient to cross their arms and hold and support the elbow. And then what you need to do is some repeated movement on the trunk to stimulate that trunk so that the person will then be needing to lean forward. Because when they lean forward, the adjustments that the neck does, the neck needs to go into extension. So remember this, when somebody is sitting down, when the trunk is flexing, meaning a person is leaning forward, the person, the skill that they need to learn is for them to be able to extend that neck at the same time. It has to be a very coordinated manner. It should not be a chunk movement, meaning person leans forward, the head is flexing forward, and then you give instruction for the neck to be extended, or you get the person sitting down, and then you get the person to look left slowly, look right slowly, okay? Yes, it'll do something. It will just stretch the muscles slowly, but it doesn't stimulate it. When you're stimulating and facilitating, the movements needed to be fast. Remember that. So get the person to do more and more when they're sitting down. Okay? So get the person to lean forward and then regain that balance. And then get the person to feel the center of gravity so that their trunk is going to be upright. So you have to recalibrate that trunk by allowing the person to have a feel of that trunk where it's upright. You'll have to be moving in circles. You'll have to be moving, sitting in an eight position. And that will be a stimulating input to the neck and the head. And that is a postural control retraining. So you started with the neck. Now you're addressing the trunk. And we've spoken about the trunk being stimulated either on the bed or on the chair and there on the plinth. The next thing would be the pelvic control. And pelvic control can be done lying down. Again, it's the same movement as when you would do a trunk rotation. You bend the hip and the knees and you get the person to do those knees, to move the knees left and right. So you get the person to actually move those, the lumbar area. So getting all those lower back. Again, it'll be the obliques. Pelvic bridging is one of those things that can help. And pelvic bridging is a lot of exercise done by the gluteus muscles. And also by the, at the same time, it's a close kinematic chain movement of those thigh muscles as well. Yeah, so that's one of those things. Postural control retraining in standing. And if they cannot stand up yet because it is so difficult, particularly if they don't have any writing reactions, get the person to use the tilt table. Okay, so I've had some podcasts in the past that talks about starting with a head control, podcast that starts and talks about the importance of the use of the tilt table. Okay, guys. There we go. Straightforward, easy. At the end of the day, you need to get the person out. You need the person not relying on the bed as soon as possible, as frequently as possible. The more you get them lying down, the more challenging it's going to be. Okay, there you go, guys. My name is Hal. I am your occupational therapist. This information is a relevant information involving occupational therapy. And it is a restorative intervention, restorative treatment focused on improving somebody's postural control. You don't just get the person standing, sit to stand. That's one of those things, but the balance needs to happen. And it all hinges on the head, neck, trunk, pelvis. Yeah. The central part, the axial part of the body. And you need to stimulate that. Okay, now who's going to listen to me? OTs, do listen. You need this information, right? We can't be ignorant of all this information. Good. Physiotherapists, yes, pay attention to me as well. That's good. Do listen, okay? Because there is sense in what I'm talking about. And I understand that there might be filters for physiotherapists. They might not want to listen to me because I'm an occupational therapist. Mind you, I challenge you, just go, suspend judgment, listen to what I've got to say, and then try it, right? Because this is very basic, very simple, restorative retraining, And all these restorative retraining are all adjunctive activities and are all enabling activities that will eventually lead to an ADL retraining, which would have been purposeful activity. Okay, there we go. So if you learned a little something today and you enjoyed it, talk to your friends about it. Have this conversation over a cup of tea. Learn together. Grow together. Please subscribe, share things that you need to do to appease the algorithm. At the end of the day, the intention here is to pass on this knowledge and information so I don't say it over and over again, so that you can just sit back, listen, and learn. Now, don't take my word for it. Challenge it, test it, push yourself. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, guys. Bye.